Amen.
God bless you. Please be seated.
Yeah, let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Y'all don't know this, but the last church that we pastored was dominantly a young couple's church, evidenced by your own pastor and wife there. So anytime we'd come on holidays like today, what usually happens? Kids go to their parents' house. Let parents pay for the food, let parents, all that stuff. So it's, this just kind of reminded me looking at you, looking out here at you, and so many of your young couples are gone for the weekend. That's good though. Love it. Appreciate it. Everybody doing good? You okay? One day Jesus was asked by a lawyer, what an introduction. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? You remember what he said? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Did you know that man is the only piece of creation that has the ability to love God with their mind? Did you ever think about that? Then to their surprise, Jesus adds another statement to it. He says, you know, there is a second commandment that is equal. Think about that. That is equal to the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. Now, I've heard it said many times in different churches, you're saved to serve. Although there's truth in that statement, the greatest truth is found in the two statements of Jesus. Love God, love yourself, and then love your neighbor. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. So many in church in this hour have been bruised and hurt because of words spoken by others, even Christians. This is an hour where God's seeking to bind up the brokenhearted, to set hearts that have been captive because of bruising to be healed. He wants to heal in such a way that you and I are able to love ourselves the way that God loves us. And only then are we able to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Let me say it to you this way. How you love your neighbor is a reflection of what you think about yourself. Y'all okay with that? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this morning, what I want to do is to talk with you practically about loving yourself. I'm going to give you some practical help in loving yourself the way God loves you. Okay, here's number one. If you're going to love yourself the way God loves you, you must learn to take thoughts captive that condemn and shame you. Don't think on the things that cause you to feel guilty and shameful. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says you can think on what you choose to think on. Nobody controls your mind. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That means what we think is directly connected to our behavior, what we do. If we think thoughts that condemn us or fill us with shame, we're going to feel inadequate. We're going to feel unworthy. We're going to feel God will do it for somebody else, but I'm not sure he's going to do it for me. We'll not attempt the things that God wants us to do. So how do you know when you're having thoughts that are coming from the enemy, that condemn us and shame us, or thoughts from the Holy Spirit that are actually thoughts of conviction? Let me just give you a little brief idea. Conviction is always specific, while condemnation is always general. In other words, Holy Spirit will say, you told this lie at this place, at this time. The enemy will say, you're a liar. One specific, the other general. Conviction brings change, while condemnation paralyzes. Conviction brings clarity, while condemnation confuses. These are just a few keys so you can recognize the difference between Holy Spirit conviction and what the enemy is inserting into our minds. At the end of our time, I'm going to pray along with you, And we're going to ask God to bring some real clarity for those that have suffered and struggled with shame and condemnation. We're going to ask for God to begin a new journey for those who struggle with shame. I want you to make a good confession with me about yourself. You ready? I am what God says I am. I can have what God says I can have. And I can do what God says I can do. You believe that? Amen. All right, let me give you another one. If you're going to love yourself the way God loves you, you must learn to receive and believe the love God has for you. How many of you know that God really loves you? I mean, He really loves you. And He doesn't love you because of what you do. He loves you because He's your daddy. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, God really loves you. But I don't know why. You know, when people are confronted with the message of the gospel, the message of the love of God, I've actually heard people respond, you know, that could not be, that's just too good to be true. Do you know why people say that? Because deep inside they feel like they don't deserve His love. We can't earn it. We're not worthy of it, yet He loves us anyway. Not I love you because, not I love you if, but there's a type of love that goes beyond performance and it says, I love you in spite of. I love you. So the next time something good happens to you and saying that's too good to be true, I want you to say, that's just like my daddy. He loves me. Come on, y'all okay? Some of you here today know about God's love, but you haven't really felt His love in a long time. So when we pray at the end, and we all pray together, when we pray at the end, we're going to ask God to do a little breakthrough with His love into your heart. As you choose to open your heart to His love, God, make that love real again. Return them to their first love. All right, number three, you're doing good. If you're going to love yourself the way God loves you, you must learn to believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your future. He has a purpose for your life. You've been uniquely made to accomplish that purpose. So strong was this very motivation for the Apostle Paul that the enemy could not keep him down. You remember Paul is preaching? He knows that his call is to go to the Gentiles. So he goes into Rome and he's preaching. He gets stoned, dragged out of, with rocks, and dragged out of town. And they left him for dead. He gets up, brushes himself off, goes back into the city and begins to preach again. That's how the power of God's purpose for your life is. That's how real it is. If you don't know God's purpose for your life, that is the thing we're going to target when we pray in just a moment. We're going to say, God, we're going to pray, God, I ask that you begin to unfold the journey that you have for me. How many of you realize that the purpose of God is more than just a single revelation to your heart? It's more than just a prophetic word. But many times His purpose is an ongoing, unfolding journey. It is a process. We've got to understand that. Because there's things that you're going to understand at the first part of your journey that you're not going to understand. At the last part of your journey that you're not going to understand at the first part of your journey. It's a process of unfolding. So if you're going to love yourself the way God loves you, you're going to have to believe God has a purpose and plan for your life. Men and women, you would not be here today still on God's green earth if that plan was fulfilled and completed. Your presence is evidence that God is not finished with your purpose yet. Amen, Bob. That's really a good point. Okay, number four. Y'all are doing good. If you're going to love yourself the way God loves you, you must learn to allow God to heal your wounds in your heart. Most of us have had words spoken to us, spoken over us, that hurt our hearts. Sometimes there are things that are done things that have been done to us physically and emotionally that hurt our hearts. We don't like to talk about them. We'd rather just kind of shove them down. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we're not sure anybody would believe us. Afraid maybe we'll get in trouble. So at night when we're all alone and the lights are off and tears begin to run down our eyes, because of the wounds that others just don't know about. If you fall into that category, I have something to say to you this morning. God knows every tear that you've ever cried. He knows every pain that you have felt. He has seen everything. He has heard everything. Men and women, as long as there are unhealed wounds in your heart, you will not be able to love yourself completely the way God loves you. You will be hindered by fear, by shame. Psalm 78, Israel is leaving Egypt. She has Egypt's gold, has Egypt's silver, has Egypt's jewels. The strongest nation in the civilized world had just been taken down by a captive slave nation and their God. Through a series of miracles, they go through the wilderness. You know the story. They finally come to their inheritance. They call it the promised land. It has to do with their destiny, their purpose, their plan. You remember the earlier? You have to believe God has a plan and a purpose for your life. They come to that plan, that purpose, and when they arrive to the border and it's time to go in, it's time to possess that purpose, they vote 10-2 to stay out. How could that be? Frequently we forget the grace and the mercy of God. And when we forget His past provisions, His past power, His past protection, His miracles, then our hearts give way to the fears of the present. We have to learn how to remove those limitations so that we're willing to take a risk, willing to move forward. You remember a man that sold a computer program for you techies? This will date you. Called MS-DOS. Now it's called Word. They sold it for a few thousand dollars. You want to know why? Because he thought he had a failure. And the guy who bought it was Bill Gates. And if you're not careful, you'll develop such a mindset of caution that you're not going to attempt the things God has in front of you. The children of Israel limited God again and again. They grieved God. They died in the wilderness simply due to unbelief. Unbelief in a supernatural God who heals, protects, and provides for them. And the reality is he had done all of that just to get them there. If you haven't done this little practice, I'm going to challenge you, especially as parents, to begin to have a prayer journal where you log in the promises of God, the provision of God, the power of God. Rehearse the things God has done in your life. So that in times when you're beginning to come into conflict, you're wondering, why is God allowing this to go on? You can look back into your book and say, well, God did it right here for me. God did. It's a reminder book. It's a prayer journal. I want you to say this out loud with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's through Christ who strengthens me. Number five. Are you doing all right? If you're going to love yourself the way God loves you, you have to learn to like yourself. No matter what circumstances, what state you are in. Now, we all tend to get down on ourselves at times. You must realize that you're not going to always do things right or perfect. We all sin. We all fail. You've heard the slogan, Christians aren't perfect, they're forgiven. Philippians 4:19, listen to this. He says, for I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. I have learned contentment is not a gift of the Spirit. It's something that you have to learn. You have to learn that God is in control. You have to learn that God loves you and approves of you. You have to learn God created you for a purpose. You have to learn how to laugh at yourself. Quit taking yourself so seriously. Stop judging yourself. Stop blaming others. You're not a victim. Number six, if you're going to love yourself the way God loves you, you must learn to thank God for how He has made you. Everyone has things that they don't like about themselves. Wrong hair color. Not enough hair. Feet too big. Hands too small. But God made us this way for a reason. As a child, my wife had a pretty big nose. And other kids, in their loving way, nicknamed her Banana Nose. Many times she cried because of the hurtful words of others. If she was here, she'd tell you this testimony herself. Finally, when she turned 18 years old, her dad said to her, "I'll pay for you to have an operation if you'd like to have your nose made smaller." And she thought about it for a few moments, and then she said to her dad, "No, Dad, God gave me this nose, and God doesn't make any mistakes. And Dad, you gave me this nose, and I'm proud to be your daughter." And if you could see his picture, you'd see where she got her nose. You're unique. God has made you special. So thank God for how He has made you to be. If you don't like something about yourself, ask God, how is this part of His purpose for your life? Because it is. Because you are unique. Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your soul and mind. And by the way, Jesus says, there's another commandment that's equal to it. Come on. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I believe that's personally the greatest evangelism plan any church could ever embrace, is helping people learn how to love themselves as God loves them. Because you know what's going to happen? It'll then be reflected in how they love others. Are y'all okay with this? Okay, stand to your feet. That wasn't too long, was it? You can ask these two. I used to preach hour and a half messages. And I learned that's just not necessary. He said, "We pray about that." You don't know how many times I would get up and actually I'd lose my notes. Things would happen. You know, and so I would have to wing it, as they say. And people would come up after, "You know, Bob, that's the best message I ever..." If you came with someone, I want you to take their hand, put your arm around them. If you didn't come with someone, but you want to be with someone, go find someone and put your arm around them. I want you to just begin to pray for that one that your arm is around. I want you to begin to pray for them that they would be able to love themselves the way that God loves them. Come on, just whisper that prayer. Make it your own words. Pray that God begins to heal their hearts. All of us have wounds that need to be healed. Go ahead, just pray that. God, heal the heart. Heal the heart. Deep into the heart. Even into things that may have been forgotten. Even things that have been pushed down. Keep praying. pray for God to remove the shame and condemnation. Pray for them to receive the special love God has for them. God, help them know how much you really love them. More than human words can express, help them know how much you really love them. Come on, keep praying. God, I ask that you would show your purpose for their lives. Begin to unfold the journey of their destiny, their purpose, their plan. Remember, purpose is not just a prophetic word. It's a revelation. It's a process. It's a journey. Lord, help them know your purpose. Help them re-engage the dreams they once had, even as a child, the dreams, the passion. Rekindle the passion within that heart for your purpose. One more thing. If there's something about yourself that you don't like, God, show them your purpose for your design. Show them your purpose for your design so they'll love themselves the way you love them. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love us with a depth of love, with a kind of love that is literally unfathomable, that goes so deep into our hearts, that penetrates so deep. Father, push out the shame and condemnation. Fill their hearts. Fill the hearts with peace, with love, with passion, with purpose. God, we know that we're still here on your earth because our purpose is not yet completed. So you're going to continue to run the race that is set before you. You're going to continue to lift up your eyes so that you begin to see the way God sees. Fill their hearts, Lord. Fill their hearts that as they communicate to their neighbors, to everyone that you place around them, that it'll be a reflection of their experience of your love. Cause that to become so real. Lord, help us learn to love ourselves the way you love us. In Jesus' name. Would you look up here at me for a moment? Are you okay? Does that make some sense to you? That was not long, but I hope it was super practical. One of my passions in life is to be able to speak spiritual truth that becomes practical. I had an older preacher say to me one time, Bob, don't ever preach things you can't share with people how to activate that truth that you just preached. So many times we find ourselves with these wonderful revelations and insights in God's Word, but we don't know how to walk it out. I hope this morning you begin to get a little insight how to walk out loving yourself rightly. Why? Because Jesus said it's equal to the greatest commandment. It's equal to loving God with your heart, soul, and mind. He said it's equal to it. That's an incredible thought, that you learn how to love yourself so that you can love others. Because how you love others, how you treat others, is in fact a reflection of what you think about yourself. So church, we got to get that cleaned up, fixed up, healed. We got to get it working rightly to where we have healthy self-images, where we have godly self-images. Love you guys. Thank you for allowing me to be with you. Happy Memorial Day weekend. God bless you. Pastor, turn back to you.